2 Corinthians 5, 7 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. When I graduated from high school a really long time ago, we had a class motto. The class of 1991 had a motto. I don't know what it is. I don't remember it. Our class motto came from our class president and a group of students that figured out what our class motto was going to be so that they could print it on the bulletin or the program at graduation. It meant nothing to me. And I don't think it meant anything to them. It was just an exercise in doing whatever needed to be done. That was the expectation. Every graduating class from Washington High School had a class motto. Every class had a particular flower. I do remember that. It was a black rose. The young lady that was in charge of picking that was a little macabre, and that was her deal. Black rose tipped in silver. Thanks, Abby. But I don't remember the motto. But there are other mottos that I do remember. Do you know what Sprite's motto is? Anybody? They're the thirst quencher, right? That's years and years of advertising have taught us that Sprite is the thirst quencher. In recent years, they've even gone so far as to say, obey your thirst. How about, anybody know how many licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pop? Three, that's right. And Bounty is the quicker picker-upper. See, these are all mottos that we remember because we've heard them over and over and over again. Our church has a motto. Our church's motto is to know God and to make God known. Something that we can remember, something that we can latch onto. That's how these mottos work. They also need to be able to be a part of our lives. We have to have some experience with it, which is why I don't remember my class motto. We never had it till the last few weeks of school. And honestly, when I was a senior in high school, I wasn't interested in learning those things. I was just interested in being done with school. Maybe if it was something that they would have picked for our class when we were in kindergarten and taught and talked about it over and over and over again, it could have become a part of my life and I would remember it yet to this day. But like our church's motto, to know God and to make God known is something that we can impress upon our hearts, something that we can engage in. So it's a way in which we can live. It's a motto that we can connect to. It can direct us in the things that we do. You know, the scripture passage that we picked out for this morning, 2 Corinthians 2, 5 through 7, that first verse could also be a motto for Christians. In fact, I think maybe it would be something that would be really easy for us to remember. In fact, this morning it's been up on the screen multiple times. Live by faith and not by sight. Has anybody noticed that? That was the very first verse that we read this morning. Live by faith and not by sight. How could that be a motto in our lives? I've got three questions that I want us to ask ourselves this morning as we think about what it would be like if that was a model for how we lived, living by faith and not by sight. The first question is the obvious question, and that is, what do you live by? What do you live by? We're extremely visual beings. Have you noticed that? Most human beings are visual beings. We respond to visual stimulation quite well. My guess is that's why we like invented things like televisions and cameras and smartphones even, because we are often piqued by visual stimulation. It's kind of how we tend to connect. In fact, I would say of all the five senses that most people have, not everybody has all five senses, but most people have five senses. And of the five senses that most of us have, sight is the one that we usually rely on 90% of the time. The other four senses we sometimes let be ignored once in a while in our lives because we are so visually stimulated. We're quick to respond to visual stimulation. It makes us curious. What makes me curious is this. Why is it, if we're so quick to respond to visual stimulation, does God tell us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 to live by faith and not by sight? Does that stand out as strange to any of us this morning, that we're to live by faith and not by sight, since it seems like we've been hardwired to live by sight because we react to things that we see? I'm sure all of us have heard this old saying, seeing is believing, right? Seeing is believing. But yet, 2 Corinthians 5 would seem to counteract that idea that seeing is believing. Why does it do that? Why is God telling us to live by faith instead of living by sight? Because sight is incredibly important to us. Yet at the same time, our sense of sight can be fooled. Have any of you ever gone to a magic show? Anybody ever seen a magician perform? And they perform tricks, and a lot of what they do is called sleight of hand. They fool the sense of sight. They make you think you saw something you didn't see, or they distract you away from something so you don't see what they're doing with the other hand. Now, I'm not a magician, so I'm not going to do magic tricks for you this morning if that's what you think is coming next, because I don't do magic tricks. I'm not good at it. I'm not good at the sleight of hand. But the point of a magician is to deceive your eyes so you don't see what's really happening. Maybe that's why God tells us to live by faith and not by sight. Because he knows how easily we can be deceived by the sleight of hand. God commands us then to live by faith and not by sight. And he says this in Hebrews chapter 1, or chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I'm going to read that again. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. God is offering to us this morning something better than sight. He's offering to us a surety. He's offering to us faith. Faith takes you and I to a different place. It takes us to a place where we go beyond what we can see. God gives us this blessing, this certainty that although our senses can be fooled in this world, we won't be fooled because we can have this surety and certainty that we find in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's what faith is. Faith takes us to a place where we can experience safety, where we can experience the blessing of being a child of God. Now, don't misunderstand. Faith isn't blind hope. A lot of people would say, no, no, that's what faith is. Faith is blind hope. You're just hoping in something. No, no, faith is built on more than just a blind hope. Faith is built on experience. Seeing God do amazing things around and in your life. Faith is built on listening to the stories of others. Share what God has done and how God has taken them from point A to point B. When there's no real explanation beyond the fact that God is love and he cares about what's happening in the lives of his people. Stories from people that didn't believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and how they found their way to faith in him. Stories of how people like Robert Zambolt have been miraculously healed from a disease that was certain to destroy their life. There are all kinds of stories, faith-building stories that exist. The Bible is full of faith-building stories. That's why it's so important for us to engage and read God's Word day in and day out, because those are faith-building experiences for us, true things that have happened that have changed people's lives for the better. It's not blind hope. It's a conviction based on past experience and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. What do you live by? Do you live by faith? Or have you been living your life by sight? Have you been living by the mantra that seeing is believing? Any of you ever seen God? I haven't seen God. I don't think any of us have seen God, because God is beyond our sense of sight. But we maybe have heard God. I like how the since passed away Pastor Billy Graham used to talk about knowing God. He asked people, have you ever seen the wind? Of course, nobody can see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind, can't you? You can feel the effects of the wind. Just because you can't see the wind doesn't mean the wind doesn't exist. Just because we can't see God with our eyes doesn't mean that God doesn't exist, but we can feel the effects that God has in our lives. We can experience the effects of God in our lives. It's not blind hope. It's real life. Not everything that exists can we see. Here's my next question. Well, how do we live by faith? Living by faith requires us to live by trusting in God. So to live by faith, we need to trust in God. Think about that. What does it mean to trust in God? Well, it means that we have a certainty that God is who he says he is. We have a certainty that we've experienced God in a very real way. Living by faith means that we have to say, okay, there's not everything I can see, not everything I can engage in with my senses. I need to trust. I need to believe. Are we people of faith? God wants us to think about that. Do we trust in him? Do we live for him? Do we walk in his way? You know, reason and critical thinking aren't going to get us to believing in God. I can guarantee you that. It doesn't work that way. Reason and critical thinking aren't going to give us an assurance. How do I know that? At one time, the brightest minds in the world believed that the earth was flat, that the globe couldn't be circumnavigated because you'd fall off the end, till they didn't believe that anymore. At one time, the brightest minds in the world believed that Pluto was a planet, and then they didn't, and then they did, and then they don't. You see what I mean? Things change, but God doesn't change. If we live by faith, we're not going to succumb to the whims of the world, because we trust in the one who we have faith in. But that's a requirement. You can't live by faith if you don't trust in the one whom you place your faith in. You have to believe with every fiber of your being that God is God, and you have to trust him in every way. That's a central element to what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Which brings me to another point. God honestly wants 100% of us. I'm going to say that again, and I want us to pay attention. If there's nothing else that you get out of the sermon this morning, if there's nothing you get out of today, I want us to understand this very important point. God wants 100% of us. He doesn't want the leftovers in our lives. Now, we just went through a time that was very difficult for people to live in. It was called COVID-19. Anybody remember that? Anybody remember, like I had COVID, and Tyler raised his hand. Tyler, you had COVID too. Anybody remember what life was like pre-COVID? Anybody remember life pre-COVID? I remember what life was like pre-COVID. Now we're entering into a time post-COVID. I also remember a time where we didn't meet in bodily form as a church family for 10 weeks. I preached to an empty church. Not much fun for me, but the gospel still got proclaimed. But I learned some things through that. Our lives slowed way down, didn't they, during COVID-19. Now we're entering into this post-COVID world, and I'm starting to see some things starting to happen again. I'm starting to see us start to return to the pre-COVID lifestyle. Which makes me wonder, did we learn anything from this experience? Because I saw some things happening during COVID-19 where God started to have closer to 100% of people's lives. Now I'm wondering, are we starting to slip back into God having the leftovers? I want us to think about that. If we're going to live by faith, it requires us to trust, and that means we trust God with our time and our energy and the things that we do. That we give God all of it. He doesn't want the leftovers of our lives. He wants all of our lives, totally, completely. He's not going to be satisfied with leftovers. I can guarantee you this, if you came over to our house for a meal, even unannounced, my wife would never serve you leftovers. I don't care. You may have to wait a little while to eat, but she would absolutely not serve you leftovers ever. Now, I get to eat leftovers, and the kids get to eat leftovers, but no guest would eat leftovers in our house. Why in the world, if that's how we would treat a guest in our home, would we then turn around and treat God differently, where we would just give him the leftovers of our life? That's not living by faith. That's living by sight. God wants us to give everything over to him. He wants us to trust him completely, totally, and not give him the leftovers, not look at the earthly things and go after earthly pursuits. He wants us to be focused 100% on him and the pursuits that God has put in front of us to go after for him. In fact, our passage says, and I hope you caught that when we read our passage, if you still have your Bibles open, you can look back at it with me, and it's amazing what our passage says. We are to make it our goal to please God. Verse 9. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or we are away from it. Are we making it our goal each and every day to please God? That's what our passage is encouraging us to do. As we try to live by faith, as we try to be, as Hebrews 11:1 says, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, we need to engage in this way, like verse 9 says, make it our goal to please Him. Whether we are at home in the body or we are away from it. This brings us to our next obvious question, is how easy is it for us to live by faith and not by sight in our world today? We have this tall order in front of us. If God wants 100% of us, how easy is it for us to live this way? The Bible teaches us not to live as the world lives, but to live differently. Living by faith is engaging in living differently than the world around us lives. And believe me, the temptation is very real for you and I to live by sight. Because sight is what's in front of us. Sight is what's happening around us. Sight is like responding to the things that are going on in the world around us, the opportunities, the struggles that exist. Living by sight is always there as a temptation. It's always a temptation for us to simply live by our senses, what we can see, what we can touch, what we can hear, what we can taste, and what we can smell. But living by faith, well, that's hard work. And it requires trust, and it requires belief. It requires us to be different, to make choices that are different than the way the world makes choices, to resist temptations that are right in front of us. The question that we need to engage in as we engage in this particular question that we're looking at now, how easy is it to live by faith and not by sight, is what is ultimately important to you and I? Even though we maybe have the best intentions in the world, we can be lulled to sleep with life. That's why I'm so concerned about us returning to the pre-COVID lifestyle. We can get so lulled to sleep while everything seems to be going okay, everything seems to be going the way we want it to go, everything seems to be all right, and we just go back to living life the way we previously lived it, and we don't really think or engage in what it all means and what we're pointing towards. This is our warning flag, folks. Remember the last number of months we talked about Revelation, the book of Revelation, and we heard all that prophecy and how the world is going to come to an end and how God has shared with us that it's time for us to be ready and to be awake. We can't be ready and awake if we allow ourselves to fall back to sleep. We have to keep our eyes open. We have to keep focused on the prize that exists before us. Don't be lulled to sleep. We can't live our lives for Jesus on autopilot. How many of us here this morning have ever lived dangerously? I'll admit I have. Let me explain. Maybe then you'll agree that you too have lived dangerously. Have you ever been driving in your car down the road? And at some point you kind of, something happens and you come to your senses and you say, how did I get here? No, I'm not talking about the fact that I have Alzheimer's. I am talking about the fact that I've been driving down the road and it's a road I've gone down a number of times and I've missed a whole bunch of the last few miles because I've just been lulled to sleep with the same old, same old, same old. This happened a lot when I was dating Amanda. I'd leave her apartment and I'd drive the 45 minutes back to my house on the farm, and at some point I would just kind of jar myself awake and I'd be like, wait a minute, I just missed Newkirk Hospers and here I am in Sioux Center. Whoops. Now, I wasn't sleeping, but I wasn't paying attention. That's how we can do things in life. Anybody ever lived dangerously like that? Now, well, there's a few more of us that agree that we've made that mistake. And it can happen in the middle of the day. It can happen in the middle of the night. It doesn't matter. Living our lives that way is dangerous. Just as dangerous as it is for me to drive my car on autopilot when I don't have autopilot. It's that dangerous for us to live our lives in that way where we just kind of go from thing to thing to thing and we really don't think about it and we really don't engage. And we just live. We exist. God wants us to live for Him. He wants us to serve Him. Which brings to mind Joshua's challenge. Is it still up here, Holly? Yeah, it is. Joshua made a challenge, and this has been in front of church for a number of weeks now. Joshua issued a challenge to the people of Israel when he was leading them, and he said to them, this was just before Joshua was going to die. He says, you know what, folks? You need to make a choice today. Choose this day who you will serve. Will it be the gods of the people in whose land you are entering, or will it be the gods you left in Egypt? And here was Joshua's answer. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua's challenge is just important today for you and I as it was for the people of Israel when Joshua issued that challenge. We need to make a choice today. Are we going to choose to worship the gods? Now, we may not be worshiping the gods of the pantheon. We may not be worshiping gods with frog heads and human bodies, calf heads and human bodies like they worshiped in Egypt. We may not be worshiping idols fashioned by human hands. But what about money and power? Those are real temptations for me and for you. Joshua issued this challenge to his people because he wanted them to understand that it isn't just about the Baals, it isn't just about the gods of Egypt, it is about life and how life is lived. Are you really interested in the things of God? Or are you living to serve your interests, your desires, your success, or God's? Our passage is very clear here in 2 Corinthians that this world is not our home. In fact, I'd challenge you to read prior to where we picked up in verse 7 and afterwards, and it talks about our heavenly dwelling, and it talks about what God is promising to us. What we see happening here is God saying, hey, you are in the body, yes, now, but this isn't your home. This isn't the place. There's a better land for you and I. And we learned about this in Revelation, this better land, this hope that we have. It's important for us to understand that all that's talked about in the book of Revelation is pointing us towards God's love for you and I and a change in how we live our lives today, so that we can be ready for tomorrow. This world is not our home. Our goal should be, instead, as our passage says, to please Christ. How do we please Christ? Well, we live by faith. Understand that we're going to all be judged. Remember in the book of Revelation when we learned about the judgment and we were going to stand before Jesus? And he was going to judge, as it says here in 2 Corinthians, all that we have done, whether good or whether bad, while we were in the body. Every one of us here this morning is in the body. We are living in the life that we have now. When we're away from the body, that's after we die. We can't change things at that point. Right now, we have the opportunity to live life for the Lord. How are we going to do that? We'll be judged. Now, what does it feel like for you to hear that? That we're going to be judged for the things that we have done. I think about things that I've done that I'm ashamed of. I don't want to be judged on those things. Thankfully, we have the blessing of Jesus who's covered our sin. But just because Jesus covers our sin doesn't mean that we should just go on sinning, but we should learn to walk after God and do what pleases Christ. Well, we can't do what pleases Christ and continue to live in a worldly way. That's the whole point of this passage of Scripture. God has given us the opportunity to live a new kind of life. Well, how do we please Christ? If that's our goal, how do we do that? Jesus tells us how to do that in the Gospels. He says, keep my commands, decrees, and laws. But Jesus also demonstrates to us how to live in that way. He's our example. Well, you say, well, he's the Son of God. He's God. We are not perfect. We're not like Jesus. Absolutely, I understand that. But Jesus sets the example. He shows us how we are to live for others. But he also gives us a couple of commands that are important. One is this, that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Do you get it? Every time any of those things are mentioned, the word all precedes them. Jesus didn't say, love the Lord your God with the leftovers of your life, with the leftovers of your mind, with the leftovers of your strength, with the leftovers of your heart. No, no, no. God wants it all. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. So we're to love God with all of ourselves. And we're to love our neighbors. Not just the ones we like. All our neighbors. We're to love as we love God and as we love ourselves. That still seems like a tall order. But it helps us live differently. Anybody can love people that love them. It's much more difficult, Jesus says, to love those who don't love you. Jesus again sets that example when he's on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. You say again, oh, Pastor, that's Jesus, and he's God, and he's perfect. In the book of Acts, there's a man named Stephen who's being stoned to death. He says those same words. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Stephen wasn't perfect. Stephen was a person like you and I. God gives us, empowers us to have that kind of capacity to love others and to love God. So we need to learn to stop living the way the world lives and start living the way God is encouraging us to live. Start living for Jesus, keeping his commands. And in Galatians 5, we're instructed also to put on the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, that's not multiple choice. We have to put on all the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is to define who we are as the people of God. If we live in that way, then we please God. We please Christ. We're engaged in living lives of obedience, practicing these fruit, and living by faith and not by sight. We're not groping around in a dark room, unable to see, but we are walking in a different way. We're walking in a different type of confidence. We're engaging the world around us differently than the world engages us. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray that all of us can echo the statement of Joshua this morning. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lord, empower us to serve you. Empower us to live by faith, by your motto. Live by faith and not by sight. To know you and to make you known in the world around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.